You might have seen some deep water. We saw some water in places we hadn't seen water stand like that before. And Lord gave me a word. And I want to share it with the church this morning. And it's interesting that it's not a sermon, just a word. And it's interesting, a couple of three things that have happened since the Lord began to speak with me about this that fit in and kind of give an example of what we're talking about. And I want to read you a scripture from the book of Amos. Probably a familiar portion of scripture to you, though you might not have been able to say it was in the book of Amos. And you might have been able to. But in Amos chapter 8, beginning with verse 11, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but for hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it." You know, when you get in a situation where your activity is limited and you got a lot of downtime, so to speak, and you have a lot of time to meditate and think and read and that sort of thing, how you get into a vein of thought and interesting things happen. And I've about come to the conclusion that the way things are headed, that the best way to get the news anymore is to read the Bible. Because the rest of it, you don't know whether you're getting the truth or not. And as I was thinking about that, and I had recorded a movie that I thought, well, I'm going to watch it and see if it's any good. And it was a movie about the Exodus. Exodus, Gods and Kings, something of that nature. Well, I read it, and then it got me kind of, I thought, I'm going to go in the book of Exodus. I'm going to read this story again and just see how I can compare it with what this movie did. Because, you know, Hollywood has a way of putting stuff they want in one, regardless of whether it might be of the truth or not, you know, just to make it more entertaining. So I sat down and I read the first part of Exodus, part about Moses' birth and about the conflict that he had with Pharaoh and the 10 plagues and the Exodus and the journey and them coming out and celebrating the Passover. And then it was the day before yesterday, I was going through tells you all the programs that are coming on all the different channels of the TV, the TV guide, program guide. And I came across the Smithsonian channel. And there was a program coming on. And it said, scientific proof that the story in the Bible of the 10 plagues of Egypt is true. Now, they never gave God any credit, I mean, you know, but they went and they showed how that it all happened. Even a scientific explanation for the death of the firstborn. And that's the only one I'm going to share because the rest of it takes too long. But it all started because of a volcano that erupted about 400 miles north of Egypt in the Mediterranean Sea from a little island there. And the first thing it did was send out red volcanic ash. And the wind stream, guess where it went? Right over Egypt. And when it came down, it turned all of the waters bloody red. And the fish died because of the acidity in the acid. And all of the frogs came out of the river because they couldn't stand being in it. And so they just went everywhere. And then they died, and the flies blew on them, and they produced a lot of maggots. Little bugs that were very, very uncomfortable, you know, like gnats or lice or whatever particular word or translation might choose to use. And I was sharing it with Laverne. She said, now how did they explain the death of firstborn? In 1996, they made a discovery over in Egypt. Discovered a city completely buried. Nobody even knew it was there. And there was graves all over the place. And some of them had 3 and 4 skeleton bodies in them. So it was an indication of a huge amount of death in a short period of time. And so they linked that with the possibility. Oh, and they were able to, in 1996, to determine the time frame when this volcano erupted. They didn't have any evidence of when it happened. But they said it was the biggest volcanic eruption in human history. And they finally found a piece of the tree in the side of the cone of the volcano that had been perfectly preserved. It had been left there when the volcano erupted. So they dated it. And guess when it dated? About the same time that the plagues of Egypt. And then they said, now for 3,600 years, we've wondered about the death of the firstborn. How do you explain that? And finally, they came up with a reason. You know, by the time it got to that plague, Egypt had been destroyed. There's a statement in there where the leaders went to Pharaoh and they said, Pharaoh, let them go because Egypt is destroyed. And of course, all of the crops and everything, the hail had killed everything, broken everything down. And they had a little wheat and barley left. And they discovered that in the wheat and barley, there's a fungus that you can't see. You know, just looking at it and tasting it and stuff like that, you can't tell it's there. But the way they talk, whatever it is, it's just almost like eating, it's like food poisoning. And you know how quick that can work on you. And so the culture of that part of the world at that time had a great priority on firstborn children. You know, in the scriptures, the firstborn's the one that got the double blessing. He was the first one taken care of. And so when the food shortage happened because of all of the destruction of the crops and everything, and all they had was a small amount of grain, guess who got it first? The first one to eat was the firstborn. And if there was enough to go around, then it was spread on down to the rest of the family. But the firstborn always got their share first. So if there was a shortage of food, guess who ate first? The firstborn. If the food was poison and it killed you, guess who died? Now, I'm not saying that's the way God did it. I'm saying that science is admitting to the fact that the biblical account of the 10 plagues has credence. They never said God did it. But you know, that's where faith comes in. By faith, we understand the worlds were formed by the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God is that what it says, we accept. We might not be able to explain it, but we accept it as the Word of God. And in the scripture that I read from Amos, it says the time's going to come when people are going to be looking for the Word of God. And then I'm getting ready for this word from the Lord. And I see somebody posted on Facebook, and I hardly ever look at Facebook. Laverne keeps me up to date about what's on Facebook. But I just happened to get on Facebook last night, I believe it was. And I came across a video that somebody had posted. It was a video of John Brevere. And I don't know if any of you saw it or not, but the context of the message that he was talking about. And I didn't even listen to the video. I just saw the title of the subject. And it was about the church having a word that is a good word to the world, but it's evil in the sight of God. And I've thought about the churches that have decided that, well, you know, maybe God doesn't feel like about homosexuality like he used to. You know, and the church, the word that's preached, the seminaries as they teach it, is beginning to try to fit into the culture, be acceptable to the culture, to not be so politically incorrect. And I shared one night just a statement here on Wednesday at the prayer time. I said, God's stirring up something in me, and I said, it may be a sermon one of these days. Something to the effect of politically correct and on your way to hell. Because you cannot be politically correct and biblically accurate at the same time. It just won't work. And also, the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know, I gave the church one responsibility, and that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. To tell my word to the world. And he just kind of put before me all of the things that the church has done that's attracting people, but it's not the presentation of the word of God. It's the stuff that the world is seeking, and the church feels like if we'll provide it for them, they'll come and listen to us. And you know, Jesus had an experience with a rich young ruler one time that wanted to know how to be saved. And Jesus told him something he didn't like to hear. And instead of accepting what Jesus said, he turned around and he walked off. And you know the strange thing about it is Jesus doesn't say that Jesus tried to come up with some kind of a different message that would kind of cause him to change his mind. It says Jesus watched him walk away, and as he watched him walk away, Jesus loved him. And it's our responsibility as a church to rightly divide the word of truth, come to the realization of the actual gospel, not make it freewheeling and unconditional in one sense of the word, it doesn't matter how you live, and not making it so legalistic that you are so bound that all you are is religious. You got to rightly divide it. You got to rightly proclaim it. And that's our sole purpose. And people are going to be looking for that. And I think that right now people are satisfied with a lot of the things that they're hearing and seeing. And so that happens. And then this morning I get up and Laverne says, guess what? She said the main water line in Taylor County is broken. They got no water in Campbellsville. Most of Taylor County. Some people had water though, didn't they? I asked Jimmy and Gail, I said, how'd you have water? You're not over next to the Green County part of the water line. She said, we had water. But you had water. Now, that kind of reminds me of some of the plagues, you know, that happened on Egypt, but in the land of Goshen. Didn't happen where the Israelites were. But all of the churches. I mean, there was a list of churches. I'm talking about the big churches in Taylor County. Had to call off service today because they didn't have any water. And I told somebody, I think it was Sister Shirley, I said, we may have biggest attendance in the area this morning. I said, we're going to have probably more people than most of the churches in Taylor County. And then I thought of something else. How much of a price are we willing to pay to serve God? And I know we get used to things, and with no water, and if you say the Campbellsville Baptist Church, 1,200 people, 1,500 people maybe, you know that those bathroom facilities are used many, many times during the time they're there. Well, if you don't have any water, guess what you don't have?
My battery. When our church started and we moved, we called by the fruit market. If anybody remembers that, we had no bathrooms at all. We were there. It was months. We put bathrooms in, but it was months, and we never lost a person. People came. And you know, children didn't have to get up and go to the bathroom. And we had services the same, as long or longer than they are now. Nobody got up and went to the bathroom because we didn't have any. But you know what people did and kids did? They used the bathroom before they got in the service, and then they went home pretty quickly after service. But nobody dropped out of church because we didn't have water in the church. It's interesting, isn't it?
But we get used to things. And they become a very important thing in the way we're doing things. And just suppose, and I'm going to tell you this, this is part of the word from the Lord. It's all a word from the Lord, but this one's especially. Things are not going to get better than what they are now. They're going to get worse. Oh, but we're going to have a revival. But if we have a great revival, then get this out of your mind that we're at the end of the time. If we start seeing great revivals where this country changes. Now, revival's going on in the rest of the world. The rest of the world is not as soft as we are here in the United States. See, we got worldly conveniences that take the place of faith and courage. But when you're faced with the fact, and you know, I got to thinking, when we were in Vietnam, churches we went to, they didn't have water. They didn't have bathrooms. You couldn't do that over there. They'd find out you were having church, and they'd come and shut you down. And suppose that the way things are going here in this country, with the all-out efforts being made by not everybody, I don't think it's a majority. Did you know the majority of the people never were communists in Russia? Only a small percent were communists, but guess what? They were the ones that were in control. And in this country, there may be a lot of godly believers. And I still believe that we're not down to 7,000. But the ones that control the media and that have this voice and the power are like the communists in Russia. And there may not be that many of them, but they got everything in their hand. Now just suppose that it got bad enough where the people said, we're going to pass a law that forbids water companies from using water for churches. That'll be a way to stop them. We're just not going to let them put water in their buildings. That'll end it. And you know, in most cases, it will. It'll end the church. It'll end that institution. It'll end that building. It might even end that congregation. But will it end your walk with God? And that's the thing that God is speaking to our hearts. It doesn't make any difference what you don't have. You've got to always remember what you do have. And we, you know, we were founded on Christian principles. Our nation was an experiment. And you know what? There's only one kind of democracy that seems like that the world is interested in. And that's one that lets me do anything I want to do and tells you you can't because it's not what I want you to do. And that's why the church doesn't have a right to tell sinners that you can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, from a political point of view. Some things that are crimes are not sins. And some things that are sins are lawful. And the only thing that we have to let us know the difference is the Word of God. Most of us may be of an age that we won't see the worst. But we're going to see it. Don't let your heart be fearful. Don't let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. Because no matter what, God's still God. And God said, my word is available. And if that's what you want, there's nothing that can stop you from getting it. But you got to pay the price to get it done. And that's a commitment. Cannot serve God because it's convenient. Cannot serve God because it's popular. Cannot serve God even because it's part of our freedom here in this country. You got to serve God because we have chosen in our hearts to follow God and to live for God. And we've got to understand one thing. As proud as we are of being Americans, and we're celebrating that this weekend, Memorial Weekend, the people that died to keep us free, to give us the opportunities to come together like this. Even though we remember all that, we have got to remember that as children of God, as believers, as the saved people of God in this country, we are Christians first and Americans second. It doesn't have to be a conflict between the two. Doesn't have to be. But if there is a conflict, you better know that your choice needs to be Christ, to choose that kingdom rather than the kingdom of the United States. Not gloom and doom, but God giving us a word saying, stick with me, I'll get you through. Don't compromise. I won't forsake you. Don't you forsake me. Don't let anybody back you down or talk you out or change you. And there'll be people, you'll start telling them the gospel and they'll come back as you with political correctness. Oh, you're bigoted. And you know, the left doesn't have a real good argument. They just got a lot of noise and violence. And then they accuse us of being the violent ones. Well, take to heart what God's doing. And remember where you stand, why you stand, and how you stand.
That's sermon number one. Amen. And I'm not saying that jokingly. I'm just saying that's sermon number one. And we got another one to go. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And that's a good thing. That's why we're here. You know, when people devote their life to explaining to you the Word of God and to bringing you what God has put in them to bring to you, they're being obedient. Amen. And that's what it's all about. Until we come together as a group of people to take this back out into the world, we can't draw them in. That's what it's all about, drawing them in. We have to go to the nations. You know, no matter what's ailing us, no matter what we got in our pocket, no matter what kind of car we drive, no matter what our condition is, a Christian will do that. I've seen some of the strongest testimonies from people when they were sick and not feeling at their best. But they look at you and say, I'm all right. God's got this. Amen? That's awesome. That's awesome right there. That's awesome. Because you know without a shadow of a doubt, when it's like that, you know where they're going. And we're going through this time to get to where they're at already. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's right. Hallelujah. Well, I'm ready to have some fun in church. Amen? Yeah. Miss Lighty, how you doing back there? Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Amen. Good morning. God been good to y'all this week? He's been good to me. I'm going to tell you what blessed my heart doing all of that. I understood exactly what Dad was talking about. But what blessed me most, what blessed me the most, I looked over at my wife and I said, look at your dad. I said, he looks good, don't he? He looks real good. That's a testament within itself. Amen? Because he's had several plagues. Yes, sir. He has been through it. And he's standing there. He looks better than I have seen him look in many years. But God. But God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Let the whole earth
Praise him, you heavens and all that's above. Praise him, you angels in heavenly hosts. Praise him, the sun, moon, and bright shining stars. Praise him, you heavens and waters and skies. Let the whole earth praise him. Great in power, great in glory, great in mercy.
I've gained a little knowledge and understanding about the word. I've often wondered what people thought about this day and time. Because regardless to what we think, regardless to what we do, we have no control over the Bible fulfilling itself. See, to me, what's going on in this world, it's in here. Nearing the end of times, you'll not know winter from summer, nor summer from winter. I believe that's in there. And then, if I'm not mistaken, there's even stuff that says how kids will treat their parents. And gosh, it's really thick with that today. Oh, it is. It is. We just have to be ready. You know, the choices that we make. Who knows what pressure will do to a person when they have a choice to make. Am I going to serve God or I'm going to denounce him? That might not be such an easy task. To put your life on the line by simply saying, I choose Christ. I choose Christ, regardless. See, that's what the world is doing out here. They don't want Christ, or they think they don't want Christ, because I was in that world, and until I realized, like I was telling Miss Juanita, that I'm just a little bitty speck in a big old pond. Until I realized that. And see, that's our job, to go out and help some of these people realize that. There's going to be those that, no matter what you do, they're not going to accept it. But until we can corner one and take the opportunity to say, hey, Jesus loves you, or just any little thing, may sow that seed and may save that soul. Amen. I got caught in Walmart the other morning. My wife is waiting on me. Oh, well, she was. I went out to get some coffee creamer, and she was waiting on me. And I had another preacher to pretty much say the same thing he just said this morning. Wasn't word for word, but it's the same topic. Ain't that funny? I remember I asked Dad one time, I said, you preachers get together and call each other, and so you know what you're going to preach on this Sunday? it's God. It's been proven over and over and over. And it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Amen. I like it. I get excited. Yes, sir. It's okay for the Lord to live in me, isn't it? I like him a lot. I sure do.
The song I was born to sing, it's your song of freedom. Now I'm free to dance again. I'll sing in the darkness, I'll laugh in the rain, rejoice in your love again. It's your song of freedom. Now I'm free to dance again. Your spirit sing, it's your song of freedom. Now I'm free to dance again. I'll sing in the darkness, I'll laugh in the rain, rejoice in your love again. It's your song of freedom. Now I'm free to dance again. Your spirit brings me liberty. Bless your holy name.
Amen. Woo. I tell y'all what. I love doing this older music. Because when I first come in these doors of this church, this is what we were singing. And I remember the first time that the Spirit come on me in here. I was standing just about where that piano's sitting. And we were singing the song Jeff used to lead. By Your Side, we were singing that song. And the Spirit fell on me to give somebody word. And I got so hot. I was about, you could have stuck a match to me. I believe I could have lit it. But I'll never forget that. And it stayed with me until I did what I was supposed to do. I remember that. And that was an awesome experience. I also remember when I first walked in that door, all things are possible was being sang.
That's right.
I remember that as well. I remember that. And then I remember the first time I seen a little boy laying over here on the floor. Eyes rolled all up in his head. Oh, I'm serious. I remember he laid, I don't know what kid's name, but he laid right there. I'll never forget that. He was doing camp meeting. Remember that too. I can remember several times when people come in here and get prayed for and get slain in the spirit. I remember that too. But you know what I remember most? Is the day that I gave my life to Christ in a jail cell. That's the day I remember most. And another thing that I remember, this just greatly stays with me, is the first person that, because of what I was doing, that came and gave himself to the Lord. I remember that scared the daylights out of me. But you know what? That's all good. See, because we got to go through all these things to get to where we're going, amen? You know, we got to go through the plagues. Y'all can go ahead and start it. We've got to go through everything. The Bible is going to fulfill before the Lord comes back. If I'm not mistaken, it says that Israel will have to cry out. And it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. The God I serve is an awesome God. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. Because he gave his life just for a little old me and a little old you too. That's right. Hallelujah. I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.
I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. Overcome the same power.
Victory in the Lord.
Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can I get the ushers to come forth, please? Hallelujah. It's time to take up our offering. Yeah, all right. Amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Yes, it is.
Glory.
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the day. Thank you, Lord.
Isn't the name of
salvation in the name. There is life in the name. There is no other name but Jesus.
Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God, amen. And we just thank you, Lord God, for being with us this day, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
America, here in America, here.
There's an announcement in there about the parents and the youth meeting with Miss Sherry after church for a few minutes next Sunday. And so now you're welcome, children, everybody, to go to your classes. And Pastor Shirley.